Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the morning segment of the Sunday, January 29th episode. That would be episode 151 of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I am Wayne Floyd, your host, and it is a Sunday morning. We want to go ahead and get through this quickly. I need to be getting ready for church, and I'm sure you do too. I hope you were set up to go to church. If you didn't do it last night, definitely need to be worshiping with the saints. It's not really a request or a suggestion. It's a command, so we need to be about doing that. So let's go ahead and jump. Oh, I guess I should stay real quick. Again, last link in our show notes here is a link for our church, for Vail Valley Baptist Church's Give, Send, Go campaign. We're working to rapidly pay off our mortgage so we can get working on establishing a school. We're going to be establishing a Christian classical education-based school. So we would ask three things of you: to pray for us, to prayerfully consider giving, and to pass on the link. So thank you for that time, and thank you for coming along and spending this time in the scriptures with me this morning. We're going to go ahead and open up like we always do on Sunday morning with the first day morning prayer from Valley of Vision. Let's pray. O Lord, we commune with thee every day, but weekdays are worldly days, and secular concerns reduce heavenly impressions. We bless thee, therefore, for the day sacred to our souls, when we can wait upon thee and be refreshed. We thank thee for the institutions of religion, by use of which we draw near to thee, and thou to us. We rejoice in another Lord's Day, when we call off our minds from the cares of the world, and attend upon thee without distraction. Let our retirement be devout, our conversation edifying, our reading pious, our hearing profitable, that our souls may be quickened and elevated. We are going to the house of prayer. Pour upon us the spirit of grace and supplication. We are going to the house of praise. Awaken in us every grateful and cheerful emotion. We are going to the house of instruction. Give testimony to the word preached, and glorify it in the hearts of all who hear. May it enlighten the ignorant, awaken the careless, reclaim the wandering, establish the weak, comfort the feeble-minded, make ready a people for their Lord. Be a sanctuary to all who cannot come. Forget not those who never come, and do thou bestow upon us benevolence towards our dependents, forgiveness towards our enemies, peaceableness towards our neighbors, and openness towards our fellow Christians. Amen. All right, and now our morning devotion for January 29th from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. Our text for this morning is 2 Corinthians 4:18, the things which are not seen. In our Christian pilgrimage, it is well for the most part to be looking forward. Forward lies the crown, and onward is the goal. Whether it be for hope, for joy, for consolation, or for the inspiring of our love, the future must, after all, be the grand object of the eye of faith. Looking into the future, we see sin cast out, the body of sin and death destroyed, the soul made perfect, and fit to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Looking further yet, the believer's enlightened eye can see death's river passed, the gloomy stream forded, and the hills of light attained on which standeth the celestial city. He seeth himself enter within the pearly gates, hailed as more than conqueror, crowned by the hand of Christ, embraced in the arms of Jesus, glorified with him, and made to sit together with him on his throne, even as he has overcome and has sat down with the Father on his throne. The thought of this future may well relieve the darkness of the past and the gloom of the present. The joys of heaven will surely compensate for the sorrows of earth. Hush, hush, my doubts. Death is but a narrow stream, and thou shalt soon have forded it. Time, how short eternity, how long death, how brief immortality, how endless. Methinks I even now eat of Eshcol's clusters, and sip of the well which is within the gate. The road is so short, I shall soon be there. When the world my heart is rending, with its heaviest storm of care, my glad thoughts to heaven ascending, find a refuge from despair. Faith's bright vision shall sustain me, till life's pilgrimage is past. Fears may vex and troubles pain me, I shall reach my home at last. All right, and now on to our reading for the day. We're going to start in Exodus 8 and 9 and then move on into Matthew and then Psalm and Proverb like we usually do. So Exodus 8, so hear the word of the Lord. Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Come to Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says Yahweh, let my people go that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, I will smite your whole territory with frogs. And the Nile will swarm with frogs, and they will go up and come into your house, and into your bedroom, and on your bed, and into the houses of your servants, and on your people, and into your ovens, and into your kneading bowls. So the frogs will come up on you, and on your people, and on all your servants." Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your hand with your staff over the rivers, over the streams, and over the pools, and cause the frogs to come up on the land of Egypt." So Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did the same with their secret arts. They caused the frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Entreat Yahweh that he may cause the frogs to depart from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to Yahweh." And Moses said to Pharaoh, "May the honor be yours to tell me when shall I entreat for you and for your servants and for your people that the frogs be cut off from you and your houses, that they may remain only in the Nile." Then he said, "Tomorrow." So he said, "May it be according to your word, that you may know that there is no one like Yahweh our God. And the frogs will depart from you and your houses and your servants and your people. They will remain only in the Nile." Then Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried out to Yahweh concerning the frogs which he had set upon Pharaoh. So Yahweh did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, the courts, and the fields. So they piled them in heaps, and the land became foul. Then Pharaoh saw that there was relief, and he hardened his heart with firmness, and did not listen to them as Yahweh had spoken. Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, that it may become gnats through all the land of Egypt." And they did so, and Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth. And there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats through all the land of Egypt. Then the magicians did the same with their secret arts in order to bring forth gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. And the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened with strength, and he did not listen to them as Yahweh had spoken. And Yahweh said to Moses, "Rise early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water, and you shall say to him, Thus says Yahweh, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you do not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and on your servants and on your people and into your houses, and the houses of the Egyptians will be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day I will make a distinction for the land of Goshen, where my people are living, so that no swarms of flies will be there, that you may know that I, Yahweh, am in the midst of the land. And I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign will happen." Then Yahweh did so, and there came heavy swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and the houses of his servants, and the land was laid waste because of the swarms of flies in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Go, sacrifice to your God within the land." But Moses said, "It is not right to do so, for we will sacrifice to Yahweh our God, which is an abomination to the Egyptians. If we sacrifice what is an abomination to the Egyptians before their eyes, will they not then stone us? We must go a 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to Yahweh our God, as he says to us." And Pharaoh said, "I will let you go that you may sacrifice to Yahweh your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." Then Moses said, "Behold, I am going out from you, And I shall entreat Yahweh that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. Only may Pharaoh not deal deceitfully again in not letting the people go to sacrifice to Yahweh. So Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated Yahweh. And Yahweh did according to the word of Moses, and caused the swarms of flies to depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. Not one remained. Then Pharaoh hardened his heart with firmness this time also, and he did not let the people go. Exodus 9. Then Yahweh said to Moses, "Come to Pharaoh and speak to him. Thus says Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them, behold, the hand of Yahweh will come with a very heavy pestilence on your livestock, which are in the field, on the horses, on the donkeys, on the camels, on the herds, and on the flocks. But Yahweh will make a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing will die of all that belongs to the sons of Israel." Yahweh also set a definite time, saying, "Tomorrow Yahweh will do this thing in the land." So Yahweh did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. But of the livestock of the sons of Israel, not one died. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not even one of the livestock of Israel dead. But the heart of Pharaoh was hardened with firmness, and he did not let the people go. Then Yahweh said to Moses and Aaron, "Take for yourself handfuls of soot from a kiln, and let Moses toss it toward the sky in the sight of Pharaoh. And it will become fine dust over all the land of Egypt, and it will become boils breaking out with sores on man and beast through all the land of Egypt." So they took the soot from the kiln and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses tossed it toward the sky, and it became boils breaking out with sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils were on the magicians as well as on all the Egyptians. And Yahweh hardened Pharaoh's heart with strength, and he did not listen to them, just as Yahweh had spoken to Moses. And Yahweh said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh, and you shall say to him, 'Thus says Yahweh, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues against your heart and amongst your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. For if by now I had sent forth my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, you would then have been wiped out from the earth. But indeed, for this reason I have caused you to stand, in order to show you my power and in order to recount my name through all the earth. Still you exalt yourself against my people by not letting them go. Behold, about this time tomorrow I will rain down very heavy hail, such as has not been seen in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. So now send, bring your livestock and whatever you have in the field to safety. Every man and beast that is found in the field and is not brought home, the hail will come down on them, and they will die." The one among the servants of Pharaoh who feared the word of Yahweh made his servants and his livestock flee into the houses. But he who did not consider in his heart the word of Yahweh left his servants and his livestock in the field. Now Yahweh said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward the sky, that there may be hail on all the land of Egypt, on man and on beast, and on every plant of the field throughout the land of Egypt." So Moses stretched out his staff toward the sky, and Yahweh gave forth thunder and hail, and fire went down to the earth, and Yahweh rained down hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire flashing continually in the midst of the hail, very heavy, such as had not been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck all that was in the field through all the land of Egypt, from man to beast. The hail also struck every plant of the field and shattered every tree on the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the sons of Israel were, there was no hail. Then Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said to them, "I have sinned this time. Yahweh is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked ones. Entreat Yahweh, for God's thunder and hail are too much, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer." And Moses said to him, "As soon as I go out of the city, I will spread out my hands to Yahweh. The thunder will cease, and there will be hail no longer, that you may know that the earth is Yahweh's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear Yahweh God." Now the flax and the barley were struck down, for the barley was in the ear. Were struck down, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was in bud. But the wheat and the spelt were not struck down, for they are late ripening. And Moses went out from the city, from out of the city from Pharaoh, and spread out his hands to Yahweh, and the thunder and the hail ceased, and rain no longer poured on the earth. But Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, so he sinned again and hardened his heart with firmness, he and his servants. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened with strength, and he did not let the sons of Israel go, just as Yahweh had spoken by the hand of Moses. All right, and now Matthew 19, verses 13 through 30. Then some children were brought to him so that he might lay his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the children alone, and do not hinder them from coming to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And after laying his hand on them, he departed from there. And behold, someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And he said to him, "Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." Then he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept, what am I lacking?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And when the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" And looking at them, Jesus said to them, "With people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible." Then Peter answered and said to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you. What then will there be for us?" And Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, that you who have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or fathers, or mother, or children, or farms, for my name's sake, will receive 100 times as much, and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Psalm 24. The earth is Yahweh's, as well as its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the rivers. Who may ascend into the mountain of Yahweh, and who may rise in his holy place? He who has innocent hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to worthlessness, and has not sworn deceitfully. He shall lift up a blessing from Yahweh, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Pay heed, O Jacob. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? Glory, Yahweh strong and mighty, Yahweh mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift yourself up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? Yahweh of hosts, he is the King of glory. And finally, Proverbs 6, verses 1 through 5. My son, if you have become a guarantor for your neighbor, have struck your hands in pledge for a stranger, if you have been snared with the words of your mouth, have been caught with the words of your mouth, do this then, my son, and deliver yourself. Since you have come into the hand of your neighbor, go humble yourself and badger your neighbor. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand, and like a bird from the hand of the fowler. All right, well, that is our reading for this morning. Again, I hope you're prepping to go to church. As always, I would implore you to do all you do for the glory of God today. And God willing, I will see you this evening. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. We're going to, as we usually do, close with the Lord's Day morning prayer from Valley of Vision. Let's pray. O maker and upholder of all things, day and night are thine. They are also mine from thee. The night to rid me of the cares of the day, to refresh my weary body, to renew my natural strength, the day to summon me to new activities, to give me opportunity to glorify thee, to serve my generation, to acquire knowledge, holiness, eternal life. But one day above all days is made especially for thy honor and my improvement. The Sabbath reminds me of thy rest from creation, of the resurrection of my Savior, of his entering into repose. Thy house is mine, but I am unworthy to meet thee there, and am unfit for spiritual service. When I enter it, I come before thee as a sinner, condemned by conscience and thy word, for I am still in the body and in the wilderness, ignorant, weak, in danger, and in need of thine aid. But encouraged by thy all-sufficient grace, let me go to thy house with a lively hope of meeting thee, knowing that there thou wilt come to me and give me peace. My soul is drawn out to thee in longing desires, for thy presence in the sanctuary, at the table, where all are entertained on a feast of good things. Let me, before the broken elements, emblems of thy dying love, cry to thee with a broken heart for grace and forgiveness. I long for that blissful communion of thy people, in thy eternal house, in the perfect kingdom. These are they that follow the Lamb. May I be of their company. Amen. All right. Have a great day. Have a great time in church, worshiping our wonderful, wonderful Heavenly Father. And God willing, again, I will see you this evening. Have a good day. God bless.
Welcome to the evening segment of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast.
Good evening and welcome to the evening portion of the Sunday, January 29th episode. That'd be episode 151 of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I continue to be Wayne Floyd, your host. We're going to go ahead and continue on in our study in John chapter 5 this evening. So let's go ahead and dive in. I hope you've had a wonderful day. I hope you went and worshiped with the saints, found you a good church and spent time with the body of Christ. Definitely a need for all of us, and that you did all you did today for the glory of God. So let's go ahead and get rolling. We're going to go ahead and open up this evening with the first day evening prayer. It's called The Teacher. Let's pray. O God, we bless thee, our creator, preserver, benefactor, teacher, for opening to us the volume of nature, where we may read and consider thy works. Thou hast this day spread before us the fuller pages of Revelation, and in them we see what thou wouldst have us do, what thou requirest of us, what thou hast done for us, what thou hast promised to us, what thou hast given us in Jesus. We pray thee for a conscious experience of his salvation, in our deliverance from sin, in our bearing his image, in our enjoying his presence, in our being upheld by his free spirit. Let us not live uncertain of what we are, of where we are going. Bear witness with our spirit that we are thy children, and enable each one to say, I know my Redeemer. Bless us with a growing sense of this salvation. If already enlightened in Christ, may we see greater things. If quickened, may we have more abundant life. If renewed, let us go on from strength to strength. Give us closer abiding in Jesus, that we may bring forth more fruit, have a deeper sense of our obligations to him, that we may surrender all, have a fuller joy, that we may serve him more completely, and may our faith work by love, towards him who died, towards our fellow believers, towards our fellow men. Amen. All right, now our evening devotion for January 29th. The text is Genesis 8:11. The dove came into him in the evening. Blessed be the Lord for another day of mercy, even though I am now weary with its toils. Unto the preserver of men lift I my song of gratitude. The dove found no rest out of the ark, and therefore returned to it. And my soul has learned yet more fully than ever this day that there is no satisfaction to be found in earthly things. God alone can give rest to my spirit. As to my business, my possessions, my family, my attainments, these are all well enough in their way, but they cannot fulfill the desires of my immortal nature. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. It was at the still hour when the gates of the day were closing that with weary wing the dove came back to the master. O Lord, enable me this evening thus to return to Jesus. She could not endure to spend a night hovering over the restless water. a restless waste, nor can I bear to be even for another hour away from Jesus, the rest of my heart, the home of my spirit. She did not merely alight upon the roof of the ark, she came into him. Even so would my longing spirit look into the secret of the Lord, pierce to the interior of truth, enter into that which is within the veil, and reach to my beloved in very deed. To Jesus must I come. Short of the nearest and dearest intercourse with him, my panting spirit cannot stay. Blessed Lord Jesus, be with me. Reveal thyself and abide with me all night, so that when I awake, I may be still with thee. I note that the dove brought in her mouth an olive branch plucked off the memorial of the past day, and a prophecy of the future. Have I no pleasing record to bring home, no pledge and earnest of loving kindness yet to come? Yes, my Lord, I present thee my grateful acknowledgments for tender mercies which have been new every morning and fresh every evening. And now I pray thee, put forth thy hand and take thy dove into thy bosom. All right. Well, we are going to continue our study into John chapter 5. I'm going to have some tea here real quick. Okay. So, like I said, we're going to go ahead and continue in our study of John chapter 5. And this is continuing on dealing with Jesus showing his equality with God. This is him continuing on and dealing with, again, continuing to address these Jewish leaders, because, you know, as we see in John's gospel, when he speaks of the Jews, he's speaking of the Jewish leaders. He's not talking the average Jew on the street. He's speaking of the Jewish leaders, the religious leaders. And so Jesus is having to deal with them being upset initially because he's doing stuff on the Sabbath. He's healing people, but he's doing stuff. They're ignoring the miracle and getting caught up in their rabbinical law. We've talked about that through the last couple here, and we dealt with Jesus showing his deity in so much. And we're going to be moving on today into a section dealing with the Messiah and resurrection. And we're going to see it in two different pieces, the two different resurrections that are part of the believer's eternal life. So I'm going to go ahead and read to you from verse 18. You know what? I'm sorry. I don't want to go back that far. I'll start from verse 22 through verse 29. So hear the word of the Lord. For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, so that all will honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So here's our verses for today. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. Those are our words. Those are our verses today, verses 24 through 26. So resurrection is a key doctrine within the Christian faith. Those of us who grew up in the church, even if we were not saved, can recall Easter stories of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. However, I don't recall it ever being taught to me or preached to me about our resurrection, or even further, the two resurrections that are part of a believer's eternal life. Yet today in our verses, we will see Jesus address both. Well, actually, in this evening and tomorrow's verses, we will see Jesus address both. Like I said, we're first going to deal with the spiritual resurrection, and then we'll deal with the physical tomorrow, God willing. We've seen Jesus manifest his deity through the miracles he has done and through his proclamations to the Pharisees and our studies through this last week or so, which proclaimed his equality with God. But in verses 25 through 29, Jesus continues to attest to his deity, to his equality with God, and thus fulfills John the Apostle's purpose of this gospel, and makes very clear that he is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of God, so that we would believe and have eternal life. And while studying this, I came across a wonderful outline that encompassed the notes I had taken in regard to these verses, as well as the multiple commentaries that were my guides through this. So I'm going to borrow the outline. This is not really my outline. But as I mentioned before, Jesus addresses two resurrections in verses 25 through 29. So really, we're going to focus on verses 25 and 26 today. The first will be the spiritual resurrection that all blood-bought, born-again believers will experience when they are drawn to a saving faith in Christ through the effectual call. The second will be the physical resurrection that all of humanity will face on Judgment Day. And we will talk about that one more tomorrow evening, again, God willing. So for most of us, when we think of resurrection, our minds, or at least my mind, goes to physical resurrection. Well, the putting of physical life back into a physical body and bringing it back to life. However, as important as that was to Lazarus in John 11, where he's resurrected, or to the son of the widow of Nain, who we see resurrected, brought back to life in Luke 7, verses 11 through 17, or to Jairus and his daughter in Luke 8, 40 through 56, which also shows up in parallel passages in Matthew and Mark. As critical and important that is, to all mankind, even to all mankind, the spiritual resurrection is as critical, if not more so. For the believer, it is what makes them able to truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God, so that we would have salvation. For the unbeliever, it is that to which they will never attain, and thus they will be damned to an eternity of torment due to their rejection of Jesus as the Christ. Now, I'm not talking the unbeliever that just hasn't been saved yet. I'm talking to the apostate. I am talking to those who are not going to be called. They will not be called through the effectual call to a saving faith in Christ. So we have to pay close attention to the proclamations Jesus is making in our verses today. Within each of these two resurrections, we'll see that Jesus's pronouncements in these verses can be organized into three different subpoints. We will look at the person resurrected, the power by which they were resurrected, and the purpose of their resurrection. So like I said, we're going to tackle first the spiritual resurrection. So again, verses 25 and 26, I'm going to read them again for us. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. So let's look first at the person resurrected. Truly, truly, I say to you. We've spoken of this before. The double emphasis, the truly, truly, was the strongest emphasis typically used. The words were truly, truly, or amen, amen. Jesus is stating here that what he says in this paragraph from verse 25 through verse 32 are definitively the truth, and that his audience must listen to them and understand them as fact. This statement is not just for those around him at that time in the first century, but for you and I as well. We can't just glide through these verses on cruise control this morning, or this evening, I should say, and roll out of here at the end of our time this evening and check out. These verses have got to take up a permanent residence in our hearts and shape us. Again, from verse 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me, meaning God, has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. So again, it is that critical. Again, back in verse 25. So, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. So, an hour, the part that says an hour. Hour here is not speaking of the time period that encompasses 60 minutes. It is speaking of a particular time when something will occur. And then we see, is coming, and now is. This is indicating that the time when this thing Jesus is speaking of, this resurrection, is coming in the future and is also now occurring. This is part of what makes clear that Jesus is speaking of spiritual resurrection here. Jesus' coming, satisfying the old covenant and instituting the new covenant through his death and resurrection, commences the provision of spiritual resurrection for all who will believe on the name of Christ. It is coming and now is. We also saw Jesus use this kind of reference in John 4:23 when speaking to the Samaritan woman and referring to the fact that worship was now and in the future was to be worship of the Father in spirit and truth. It is, you know, is coming and now is to be worshiping the Father in spirit and truth. So again, speaking of spiritual, you wouldn't speak that way of physical resurrection. Either it is or it isn't. But spiritual resurrection is happening now and will continue to happen into the future. And then we see the verse go on. When the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. The dead being spoken of here are the spiritually dead. You see that in Ephesians 2, 1-3. And you see it in Colossians 2:13. They're spiritually dead. They're dead in their sins and trespasses. And they will hear the voice of the Son of God, Jesus' voice, and those who hear will live. Again, Colossians 2:13, and Ephesians 2:4 and 5. You see that in Ephesians 2:1 and 3, speaking of the spiritually dead and speaking that we were once them. But Ephesians 2:4 and 5, we're brought to life. We're brought to spiritual life. You even see it spoken of in Romans 6:4. All of these verses clearly talk of those who are dead in their sins, hearing the voice of the Son of God through the effectual call and being raised to a life in the name of Christ and eternal life, having a spiritual resurrection. That's what's being spoken of here. That's what we're seeing here. We'll hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. This is clearly speaking of those who are brought to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. Though they were spiritually dead like this world, these are the persons resurrected in the spiritual resurrection. Jesus is referring to you and I if we're saved. So let's look at the power by which they were resurrected. Verse 26. For just as the Father has life in himself, even so he gave to the Son also to have life in himself. Jesus refers here to the self-existence of the Father, and that the Father is the source of life, thus life is in the Father. And he goes on to make clear that the Son, Jesus, has also been given to be a spring of self-sufficient life, as one commentary points out. The Church Father Augustine says of, or Augustine, if you pronounce it that way, says of this, he generated such a son who should have life in himself, not as a participator in life, but one who should be as he himself is, God himself is, life itself. I have a bunch of verses here, and I didn't happen to look them up. We're going to look them up together. Let's see. John 1 verse 4. If I can find it and actually read it in the dark here. It's not really that dark, but I'm used to reading off screens. So that, and our room is only so bright. So John 1 verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. It's speaking of eternal life there. John 4 verse 10. Let me flip to that for you. John 4, verse 10. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. He would have given you life. In this case, the living water he's speaking of is that light, that water that wells up to eternal life, that gives you eternal life, that brings about the spiritual resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:45. Let's see how quickly I can get there. Nope, gone to 2 Corinthians already. Let me back up a little bit. And then I went too far the other way. And I'm sorry, I'm using my hard copy LSB here to flip back and forth, but the pages are very, very thin, which I'm not used to because my big Bible is not that. All right. 1 Corinthians 15:45. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, is that the right one? Yeah, 1 Corinthians 15:45. Okay. So also it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. He gives life. I mean, that's the whole point. He gives life. Colossians 3:34. Let's see. There we go. Colossians 3, 3 through 4. Let's see. Yeah. For you died, and your life has been hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is manifested, then you also will be manifested with him in glory. Again, an indication of that spiritual life, that eternal life that we're given, that moving from a spiritual deadness to a spiritual life. And it's that power, that self-existent power that is given, that God himself has and that Christ himself has. We have to realize that. They are not created. They are not given life. They have life. They have life inherently, and they give it out. And it's that that life, that power that maintains them, that is them, that is given out, that brings us to eternal life, that gives us that. Jesus is decreeing here that he has the Father's power to both physically and spiritually resurrect man. So the purpose of the resurrection we see in verse 25b. Those who hear will live. Jesus states here that those who truly hear his voice, truly hear the effectual call, will be regenerated and will have everlasting life. John 10:10 states it, those who hear and live will have life and have it abundantly. Again, John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life, passed out of spiritual death into spiritual life. And John 4:14 again. I'm sorry. I'm going to try to jump back to it here real quick. Sorry about that. I didn't prepare very well, so I apologize for that. John 4:14. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst, ever. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. That's the purpose of the spiritual resurrection, the spiritual resurrection is to raise them to eternal life. That's the whole purpose. It's not talking about raising them to a physical life. We'll talk about that physical resurrection. But in this case, he's speaking of the spiritual resurrection, them having life through coming to a saving faith from believing in Christ. And we as sinful men and women must grasp these verses and understand their meaning. The voice of the Son of God will call out, and he will use the power he has for resurrection, that power that brought all of creation into existence and gave it life, to bring those dead in sin who are truly called by God to eternal life. And we must listen for that call from the very depths of our soul and be ready when the Holy Spirit works in us to provide us the ability to respond. Jesus is speaking here of calling his sheep home, but he's very clear throughout his public ministry that all of mankind are not sheep, that some are goats. If we're not already saved, we must be in deep prayer and supplication that the call of the Son of God would come to us, and that the Holy Spirit would make us able to respond and believe in the name of Christ. And thus, through that inherent power that emanates from Christ, we would be brought to a spiritual resurrection, that we would be reborn. And if we are saved, we must truly humble ourselves in the knowledge that our salvation has come about due to the things completely external to us. We have not brought about our own salvation by anything integral to ourselves. It is from God through the work of the Son and worked in us by the Holy Spirit. How blessed we are and how we must be an open witness to that in this fallen world. Again, we cannot bring ourselves to rebirth. We cannot be born again through any work of our own. We didn't have any part in our physical birth, and we don't have any part in our spiritual birth. But we must pray for that rebirth. And if we've already been saved, we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to be, you know, I mean, I've had too many people that from the fruits and from what they said, I don't think they were saved, but be so offended and so angry when we spoke of being called and God saving us through no work of our own. And they talked about, they were like, well, how prideful of you that you would think you were worthy. Well, no, we don't. And that was the thing. They misunderstood. We don't see that. But that's the thing. We have to be so humble and truly understand that there is absolutely nothing in us that earned us salvation. Nothing in us that was worthy of any of it. Yet Christ, in his ability, shows clearly that he provides for our spiritual resurrection, that he brings us out of our death in sin to life in Christ. And we've got to hold fast to that, and we've got to be constantly looking towards that. All right, we're going to go ahead and close out in prayer like we usually do on a Sunday evening. We'll close with the Lord's Day evening prayer. Most holy God, may the close of an earthly Sabbath remind me that the last of them will one day end. Animate me with joy that in heaven praise will never cease, that adoration will continue forever, that no flesh will grow weary, no congregations disperse, no affections flag, no thoughts wander, no will droop, but all will be adoring love. Guard my mind from making ordinances my stay or trust, from hewing out broken cisterns, from resting on outward helps. Wing me through earthly forms to thy immediate presence. May my feeble prayers show me the emptiness and vanity of my sins. Deepen in me the convictions that my most reverent prayers and most lowly confessions need to be repented of. May my best services bring me nearer to the cross and prompt me to cry, "None but Jesus." By the Spirit, give abiding life to the lessons of this day. May the seed sown take deep root and yield a full harvest. Let all who see me take knowledge that I have been with thee, that thou hast taught me my need as a sinner, hast revealed a finished salvation to me, hast enriched me with all spiritual blessings, hast chosen me to show forth Jesus to others, hast helped me to dispel the mists of unbelief. O great Creator, mighty Protector, gracious Preserver, thou dost load me with loving kindness, and hast made me thy purchased possession, and redeemed me from all guilt. I praise and bless thee for my Sabbath rest, my calm conscience, my peace of heart. Amen. All right. Well, I hope our time together today, both in our reading and in our Bible study this evening, has been edifying for you. That is the whole purpose for it. I thank you for spending that time with me, and God willing, I will see you tomorrow morning. Have a great night. God bless.